Okay, give me one.
Hi, good morning.
لا هو هذا بس وانا بيساعد على البركة توعدنا الله من الخلاص مش هكمل يا بالفراي. Okay, we're up to page 240. Viata and now. Viata now. Yodim lo yishi alayvai. My head is elevated above my enemies. Sviva side that surround me. The ezbicha v'holor zivchei sruah. I will sacrifice in his tent. Sacrifices of shouts. What is that? A zevach zivchei siduah, a zevach of teruah. Teruah ordinarily is a sound of a shout. You blow the teruah. Here we have to see. A shira, I will sing. Va'azamara, I will sing, and I will make music. La Hashem to Hashem. Another reference to the yamim noiroim teruah. You notice there are many different words in this mizmar. All of them surround one thing, Chodesh Elul and Tishrei. There's the Sukkoi, Hashem Sukkah. There is the Teruah. There is Achash Ra'altim Yis Hashem Oysavake Shifti B'Veis Hashem. That is obviously Simchas Torah. There is going around the Mizveach. going around the Mizveach. We mentioned that. I love Hashem Ori v'Yishi. That's Ori is Roshan Yishi is Yom Kippur. We discussed that. Do we have over here going around the Mizbeach? No, not yet. Okay, let's see over here. This pasuk vav in the Mitzudas David. I'm in the Mitzudas David pasuk vav. It is on page.
I would add.
Yeah. What do you mean, Kriyas Yamsu? But we don't have it. When do we have that on Tishrei?
No, but who says it's limited to Tishrei?
Who says it's Tishrei?
Who says?
I mean, we say this Mizmar and Chodesh Tishrei. This Mizmar is okay. You want to do all of the Mo'adim? All of them. Okay, let's see if we have the Mitzvah stuff on page 240. On page 240, it says Viata Pasuk Vaviata now. כאומר, הנה אם כל זה היסי מוטרד במלחמה ולזה אבקש עתה ממך שרוי שיורם על אויבי מסביב שלא ילוחמו עוד בי. David says, I want out. Enough war. It's not so simple what this means. David over here is saying, one more time, ויעתה now כאומר, this means to say, הנה אם כל זה היסי מוטרד במלחמה. David saying, I am very torued in war. Now that I am very busy in war, your room roishi al oivai sevivoi sai. Ulaze avakesh ata mimcha shiroishi yorum al oivai misaviv shelo yilochamu odbi. David here is making a request that I be victorious in war so that I don't have to be busy with this nonsense anymore. The ezbecha, the oz, then I go back to my learning. I go back to what I really enjoy. Vios then ezbach zvachim, I will offer sacrifices. Ve'oria b'simcha yoiser, I will have more joy in offering sacrifice to you and singing your praises than the joy one gets from engaging in war. Yoiser mi'inun, more than the victory of war. That's what you mean to say? Yoiser.
Not enjoying fighting.
Of course, he enjoys. David enjoys winning the war. Yoiser mi'ilu. What? I'm sorry. David was undefeated. I mean, yeah, he always won. Not always. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know every battle. I don't know if he won every battle. There are many battles. But he's saying yoiser mi'ilu nulchamu bi v'nitzachti oisam, more pleasure than fighting and winning. Okay, so let's read the pasuk again. According to this. Viata now, Yoram Roshi al Oivai, David is praying that my Roshi may be elevated over my enemies, Sivosai, may I win the wars. Where I, in other words, may I be so victorious that it may not be necessary for me to go out into the battlefield any longer, so that I will have freedom. I will have time. The Ezbicha, I will return home. I will go to the Beis Hamikdash. I will offer sacrifices. I will sacrifice to Hashem the Ohalo, Zivchei sacrifices, Siduah. So here the Mitzvah Slav explains this to mean that the Shu is not part of the sacrifice. It means I'll offer sacrifices, and the sacrifices will be accompanied by words of praise. Ashira Vazamra, I will sing and I will make song with music to Hashem. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, Vav, Zivchei Siduah. He explains exactly that point. Zvachim sha'omrim aleihem shir, sacrifice upon which one sings songs. So again, this is a simple point. There's really no such thing as sacrifices of song. There's no such thing. It means a sacrifice, and the sacrifice, when a person brings a carbon, the carbon is accompanied by words of praise. A sacrifice was it's very clear that the sacrifice was an experience. When a person came to the Beis Hamikdash for a sacrifice, they didn't just bring the sacrifice.
What is the purpose of these sacrifices? Is it korban todah for victory?
Well, it depends. It depends what it's for. It's not telling us exactly what it's for. It's telling
them. Well, if I read it plainly, I should be victorious over my enemies, and then I come and I give korbanos, zavim, and for what purpose? One follows the other.
Okay, so he's saying that the karbanos is to thank Hashem for winning the war.
Yes.
Okay, all right, fine. The sacrifices are all here for the purpose. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, you bring karban toida for many reasons. There are many different reasons why a person brings a karban toida. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Shema Hashem koli ekra v'choneni v'aneni. Hashem, hear my voice when I call out to you. V'choneni, show me favor. V'aneni, and answer me. Pasuk. I'm Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzvah's David. Okay, these sukkim, and we're just going to run through the sukkim very quickly because I Baruch Hashem, I spend time preparing. But just getting hard. Sometimes I don't really have a deep piece to speak out with you. Not everything over here do I find to be worthy that we should spend, go through the Mepharshim. So we'll just run through the sukkim. There are a couple of ideas that I do have. Let me try to finish the mizmor, then we'll go back and discuss a few little things. The Pasuk Zayin says, David makes a request, Shema Hashem kol yekra, Hashem, listen to my voice when I call out to you, v'choneni v'aneni, and answer me. Two words which mean the same thing, choneni v'aneni, show me favor and answer me. Let us see what it says over here in the Mitzvah of the Pasuk Zayin. On the bottom of the page 242, kol yekra, kol yasher yekra, my voice which I cry out. Rashi, Narashi, Pasuches. L'cha, now here I have a nice idea. L'cha to you, Omar Libi. To you, my heart says, Bakshu Fonoi, Esponech Hashem Avakesh. Let's see the Mitzvah, Pasuk Zayin. L'cha, Bish Lichusecha, Omar Libi, Bakshu Fonoi. Okay, your Shlichus, Hashem, you have sent me on a mission. Through your Shlichus, you said to me, so my heart, according to the Mitzvah of my heart is your agent. Hashem has taken control of my heart. And my heart is speaking in your name and is making a request, seek out my presence. And I have complied. I indeed now are praying to you, Hashem. One more time, the Mitzudos. L'cha, to you, Bish Lichusecha. Through your agency, Omar Li, Libi, my heart said to me, Bakshu Fonoi, seek out my Panim, Hashem's Panim. V'cheinese, and so will I do, Ki Esponech Hashem Avakesh. Back to the Pasuk, L'cha, Omar Libi, Bakshu Fonai. Luchos, again, is a very hard word to translate. Luchos, according to the Mitzudos, is on your behalf. On your behalf did my heart say to me, seek out Hashem. Again, like this is the way we explain. Hashem has taken possession of my heart. And my heart is now basically acting as the agent of Hashem. Hashem is speaking to me through my heart. My heart is been hijacked by Hashem. And my heart says to my body, come close to Hashem. Seek out Hashem. And indeed, I complied. Let's see Rashi. L'cho amar libi bakshu fonoi. Bishvilcha bishlichuscha oimer li libi. Through your agency did my heart say, bakshu kulchem yisrol eskona. Rashi is something different. It's not in the Mitzudos. The entire Jewish people should seek out Hashem. Va'ani shomei aloi. Esponecha Hashem avakesh. Kmo hein ani keficha lokel. I am your mouthpiece. B'mekoymoi im lokel t'rivun. If you want to quarrel with Hashem, b'mekoymoi in this place, afkan l'cho omar libi, b'mekoymcho boi lai libi loy markein. Okay, he's saying again, it's the same idea as what it says in the Mitzudos, is that my heart is in your place. My heart is basically, my heart is you. Hashem, you have taken possession of my heart, and you are making a request that I arouse the Jewish people to serve Hashem. Something along those lines. One was a Rashi. On your behalf, Omar Libi, did my heart say, Bakshu Fonoi, Bishvil Cha, for your sake, Bishlichuscha, in your agency, Oimer li libi, bakshu kulchem Yisrael esponoi. The only difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos is that Rashi learns that David is acting as an agent of the entire Klal Yisrael. Hashem is asking David, I want you to arouse the entire Jewish people to come close to Hashem. Vani shomei aloi, and I listened. Esponecha Hashem avakesh, I go and I arouse the entire Jewish people. And Rashi comes to explain that the word libi is in place of Hashem, kumo, hein ani kificha lokel, I am your mouth as a God. Just like in this pasuk that the person's peh, his mouth, is an agent of Hashem, so too the heart of David is Hashem's agent. It's bimekoymai, my mouth is in the place of Hashem. Ki lokel tirivun.
Like a ventriloquist.
I guess so. That I am quarreling in Hashem's place. I'm Mechola saying a ventriloquist. I'm not in control. That's not me. Hashem is using my heart. Hashem is using my mouth as a form of communication to cloud, a form of communication. I have been taken over. I have been possessed. My heart has been possessed by Hashem. And it is Hashem that is doing the arousal. Hashem is the one that is creating the awakening within me to come close to Hashem and or to be a tool, his tool, to influence Klal Yisrael. Oh, so that's the question.
My Rebbe once did talk about that human nature, people want options.
Okay?
That's why, you know, we have free choice, we have options, and we like to keep our options open.
Okay.
The idea he discussed. Here, but the biggest form of to be an Eben Hashem is to give up your option. Right?
Yeah.
So what he's saying is, my leg, I've given up my options. I'm all in for you.
Okay. But you're saying that you're doing it willingly, that yeah. You're allowing Hashem to enter. Okay, so Michal over here is saying is that David is allowing Hashem to enter. I'm saying reading Rashi in the Mitzvah is a little bit more rigid.
I'm not saying that they say that.
Okay, what Michal is saying is that Hashem, you're allowing Hashem to enter. I'm trying to say, no, you're not allowing Hashem to enter. You don't have a choice. Hashem is possessing a person. It's like, there is a time in this world when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring about change. And Hashem brings about change. This is an idea. How does Hashem bring about change? Hashem possesses a person. Hashem is a hostile takeover. Hashem enters into that person with a very great intensity, and basically, the person is speaking, but it's not really him. It's really Hashem's spirit is speaking through his vocal cords and through his actions.
Right. Where's the virtue? That's why king, right?
Lev Melachim B'yad Hashem.
But that's not.
It's not fair.
It's not a compliment to those.
A bechira chashus. You're saying that there's that's not free will. We live in a world where there's a principle of bechira chashus. Every person has free will. It's not fair. It's not Hashem's way to hijack people. That's not. It has to come from a person. It cannot come from. You cannot be overwhelmed. Is that what you're asking, Michal? Man, everything that happens in this world comes via free will. If Hashem is going to take over, a hostile takeover, and call the shots.
Yes, but usually that's takes over the free will of a Russia in order to turn things around.
Okay, so Vayichabed Hashem is slave Paro. Five of the Makos.
It's not that Paro is virtuous. David is not trying to present himself in a negative light.
But maybe there is some type of connection between this. Look, everyone has to deal with the fact that five of the ten makos, Hashem said, "Vaychabed Hashem esle Paro." Hakadosh Baruch Hu took over the heart of Paro. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, there was a hostile takeover.
Right.
Paro did not have free will.
Yes.
Why not? That's not fair. That's not the way the world works.
So, they're all the different explanations.
So you have many, many answers to that question. The same way in that realm, here's this idea, this is a novel idea, the same way in that realm that there's a hostile takeover and you're gonna have to suddenly find what it was.
Yeah, why is it why would Dov
No, so that's what I'm saying, Zelumazel, there are times in the history of this world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over a tzaddik in the opposite direction. That is Hashem. Vayichabed eslev David, so to speak, in a good way, that a person on his own actions, if you leave him to his own devices, there is no way he would rise in an oimed and stand in this sioinos. He wouldn't survive.
Example of this, because this isn't working for
him. What?
I said, do you have another example like this? Because this one's not.
I don't have another example. I don't. But there has to be. But here's the point I want to make. Just like even you acknowledge, everyone acknowledges, is that there's something called Vaychabed Hashem Etzlev Paro.
Yeah.
Hashem hardened his heart. Paro, according to the simple understanding, you can't argue with this, the simple understanding we've all been taught in yeshiva, is that if Hashem did not do something unnatural, Paro would have given in. Paro would, okay, you want to go? Go. Paro would say, okay, I'm overwhelmed, everyone leave. Everyone wants to leave, and try and pick your stuff up and leave. Paro would have listened to Moshe, would have listened to Hashem, would have picked themselves up and escaped. What happened? Hashem said, nah, I don't want it to be so easy. It's too good for you that they should just walk out of here. So instead, I'm going to do something that's not natural. Vayichabed Hashem eslev Paro. Hashem hardened his heart. Now this is a problem, because this goes against everything that we have been taught in the world of Hashkafa. Every person has free will. Hashem does not interfere with the person's free will. So we got a big problem. Correct? And Michal, you masking to that?
Yeah.
Okay, we have problems.
That's all fine.
Fine. Now, the same way, now here is the Chiddush. The Zeh Lu'uma Zeh Boro Elokim. The same way the Torah will reveal to us such a principle, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechabed, hardened the heart of Paro in evil. I will not let you go in an unnatural way. There has to be a Hechatimsa in this world, situations in this world, where Hashem enters into a person's heart and gives them strength and fortitude to do good things and to show faith in Hashem that under ordinary circumstances it's impossible for him to do such an act of righteousness. Oh, but that's not fair. That violates the laws of free will. You're right, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. But the same way we acknowledge that their rules are broken when it came to evil, Vayichabed Hashem Eslev Paro, so too rules are broken when it comes to giving strength to be oimed in difficult situations, nisyonos. And I'm trying to read that into this pasuk over here.
Alright, so you're reading it into it, but I'm not doing it.
Okay, you don't agree. I accept that you do not agree. I accept that. But l'cho omar libi, l'cho on your behalf, l'cho means on your behalf, omar libi, my heart spoke, my heart said, bakshu fonoi, seek out my ponim. I want you to search for Hashem. What does this mean? Bishvilcha, on your behalf, bishlichuscha, as your agent, in your agency. In other words, Hashem has entered into my heart and has taken control. Hostile takeover. Just like there was a hostile takeover for Vayichabed Hashem Eslev Paro, that's what it says. Oimer libi, oimer li libi. What?
You're saying it says that.
Okay.
He says, but not here.
He says, he was talking to his heart. No, that's not what it's saying. That's not what Rashi is saying.
Okay.
Bishvilcha, as on your behalf, bishluchuscha, as an agent of you, my heart is speaking as your agent. My heart is not in my control. My heart has been hijacked. Bishvilcha, bishlichuscha, as your agent, oimer li libi, bakshu kulchem yisrael es ponai, v'ani shamelo, and I listen. And then Rashi explains, it gives you other examples of where we find such a principle where a person is being taken control. Es ponecha shemavakesh l'cho kimo hein ani, kificha lokel. Now, what does that mean? Bimekoimoi. In that context, it means is that my mouth is not mine anymore. It's in the place of Hashem. Hashem is using my peh as his agent to speak to you. In lokel tirivun, are you going to fight with Hashem bimekoimoi? Okay, in that context as well, we have to see inside. Afkan l'cho omar libi b'mekoimcha bo elai libi loymar kein. In your place, did my heart come forth to say the following thing? It's not me that's speaking. It is Hashem that is speaking. Hashem is taking control. There is a special circumstance. Whatever the reasons it is, whatever the reasons are, Hashem is taking control. Okay, let's go further. Now, there is a very beautiful vote over here. On this pasuk, I came across let me share with you this idea of l'chomar libi bakshu fonecha es ponecha avakesh. Okay, the word is like this. Zeo kavon es dov. I'm reading over here from a sefer. Bakshu fonecha dahainu bikashli michach me yisrael. Shivakshu es ponai b'chol yoim. Okay. Kidei es ponecha shemavakesh. Okay, this is Naikem. I'm telling you now a drush. Okay, this drush is from the Shalol, from the there's a collection of Averd Lach, okay, it's called Shalol Rav. And he has here, I do not know the name of the Sifkol Dvar Tzion, and he says a drush. L'cha to you, Omar L'cha, with on your behalf, Omar Libi, my heart said, Bakshu Fonoi, seek out my ponim, so that as ponecha Hashem b'vakesh. This is a very deep idea. What he's trying to say is as follows. Let me try to explain like this. We have a principle in Chazal that a person should always go, if you have an opportunity, to witness the kavod malchus. Let's say the president of the United States is coming to town. So what are you supposed to do? So Chazal say you're supposed to go out. There's a halacha le'olam. A person should always attempt to witness the honor of the Melech Basar Vedam. Why? In Yiske, if a person will merit, he will merit to be alive at the time of becoming a Mashiach, and he will witness the kavod, the honor of the Melech HaMashiach, and all that it entails, which also alludes to the honor of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he'll be able to differentiate, to appreciate the difference between the honor that is given to a melech of the Umay Sa'olam and the melech Malchei Melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, everything in this world is a dogma, is an example of something much greater. But if you don't have examples, if you don't have opportunities in this world to sample examples of insignificant things, you'll never have the hasagos to appreciate the real thing. Okay, obviously, when the Melech HaMashiach will arrive, and there's going to be a very grand, glorious display of honor that the Jewish people will bestow upon the Melech HaMashiach and bestow upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are we going to even know what to do? And how do you give honor to the Melech HaMashiach? You have to have something to start with. Well, if you're used to going to a ceremony where a Melech walks in and they sing for him, Hail, Hail to the Chief, and everyone stands up and everyone is dressed in a certain way, and there's a mode of behavior, then okay, now we have a dogma of how to give honor to a king. So then when the time will come and we'll give honor to the real king, to the Melech HaMashiach, or to Melech Malchei Melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll have something to work with. I mean, here we have Menachem Sperling. If a yeshiva wants to make a dinner, what do you do? Let's say you have a new yeshiva, opens up in the middle of nowhere, they want to make a dinner. So what do? So you go to some other yeshiva dinners, right? You practice. Oh, there's a Chaim Berlin dinner. Okay, let's just go to the Chaim Berlin dinner. We'll crash to see what goes on. Let's see what goes on by the dinner. Oh, they have videos, video presentations. Oh, they have a Kabbalah's Panim, and they have an award ceremony, and they give out gifts, and they have invitations, and there's a journal. Oh, now our appetite is getting wet. Let's now go to another dinner, another yeshiva. Oh, this dinner they did a little bit differently. And now let's go to this dinner, this yeshiva dinner. And if you go to enough yeshiva dinners, you're able to collect a number of ideas and your situation, and when you want to make your yeshiva dinner, your function, so you have what to draw from. This is going to work for us. This is not going to work. This we can adapt. This way we can adapt that way. You have to have something to work with. David over here says, L'cha Omar Libi Bakshu Fonai. David told the people, this is what it says here in the Sefer. David says, you know, I am the Melech of Klal Yisrael. I have a lot of power. I can do whatever I want. My main objective is to serve Hashem, is to increase in this world the honor of Hashem. But you know, I don't really know what to do. I don't know, I don't have a technique in how I can galvanize the Jewish people to serve Hashem. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make state dinners. I'm going to say to my people, I'm going to tell the Jewish people, you know what? I'm the king. I'm the melech. Everyone in Klal Yisrael must come before me once a month. I want to, you know, take inventory of Klal Yisrael. Bakshu fonoi. David HaMelech said to Klal Yisrael, I don't know what the timeline was, every single member of Klal Yisrael must come to see me. I want to know what I'm dealing with. Okay, you know, I remember there was a principal, and his policy was every single day, this is the principal of a girls' school, every single day he had lunch with some of the students. Secretary, I guess, made an arrangement. A principal of a school, and every single day when he ate lunch in his office, he ate lunch with a couple of the students. Why? So that way, throughout the year, he'll get to know personally every single student in the institution. And there was an arrangement. There was an arrangement made that way. He has to eat lunch. And the students anyway have lunch. So therefore, every single day, I'm going to eat lunch with a couple of the students. And that way, we're going to schmooze. I'll get to know them. They'll get to know me. And that way, I will have a much greater feel on what is going on in this institution. Okay, it's a very brilliant idea. It's a very brilliant idea. What?
They will have a much greater feel for him.
Right, exactly. They'll have a greater feel for him, right. That way, he'll get to know what's going on in his institution. That's exactly what David said. David said, L'cha, I'm running an institution, and the institution is called L'cha. That's the name of the institution. You means Hashem. On your behalf, on with regard to you, because of you, Hashem, I want to get to know you. I'm dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'cha. Omar Libi, my heart, I came up with a plan. And my heart said to me, Bakshu Fonoi, I told the entire Klal Yisrael, come, I want to speak to you. I want to meet with you. Everyone has to come, greet me. That way, when everyone comes to greet me, everyone comes to speak to me, this Kabbalas Kahal, as they call in Eretz Yisrael, Kabbalas Kahal, I'm going to get to know every single person in Klal Yisrael. I'm going to get a feel of what's going on. So now, after I Esponecha Hashem Avakesh, so now, when I daven my Shemona Esrei, and when I serve Hashem as the leader, as the melech, I will have a much better ability, a much better grasp of what I need to ask of Hashem on behalf of the Jewish people. So, l'cha, I'm not having lunch every single day with every single member of Klal Yisrael. I'm not interested. I would rather go to sleep. I'd rather go and have some entertainment. But that's not what my business is. My business is l'cha. Everything is l'shem shamayim. Therefore, I'm going to employ a technique. The technique is I'm going to make an announcement. Omar Libi, I have an idea. My idea is to send out a kol korei throughout the entire Klal Yisrael. Bakshu fonoi. Every single person come meet with me. Let's make an arrangement where every single day I'm going to have lunch with another group of Klal Yisrael. One day I'll have with the NRA. One day we'll have lunch with Rav Michal, help me out, with some other fringe element of the Jewish people. We'll have lunch with this party and that party and the Chveis, you name whatever, all the different lobby organizations or lobbyists. We'll have everyday lunch with another organization. Bakshu Fonoi. All the different interest groups in Klal Yisrael. And thus, when it'll come time to daven mincha, and I, as David HaMelech, who is mispalel on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael, I will thus be able, Esponecha Hashem Avakesh, I will be able to seek out your panim with an entirely different flavor. with an entirely different understanding and approach to what I'm dealing with. Okay, this idea appeals to me. I read this idea, and that's pretty much what it says over here. The Taish, because this pasuk obviously is a very difficult pasuk, and as you see, Rashi and the Mitzudais, they really struggle, and they struggle to a degree where they say a chiddush, which I read into a chiddush an extreme idea originally. I mean, actually, what it's saying is lecha bishlichuscha. But I told you originally that this pasuk is telling you that my heart has been hijacked. It has been is been possessed. You think you're in control? You're not in control. Okay, this sounds like a conspiracy theory. It sounds like someone put into your body some type of a mechanism where they control your thoughts. Well, that's really what it says. It says lucha bishvilcha. That's what it says. That basically is that I have been taken over. Someone has taken over my heart, and my heart has said, Bakshu Fonoi is making demands and telling me, you know, wake up and go to Klal Yisrael and tell them to do teshuva. And indeed, I listened, I obeyed. Esponecha Hashem Avakesh. David is saying that I'm not even in control. Oh, how could that possibly be? Doesn't every single person have free will? Well, didn't Paro have free will? No, he didn't. Sometimes there's some type of a process, some type of error where the rules are some reason that they operate on a different plane that we don't understand. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Al taster ponecha mimeni, al tat ba'af avdecha es rosi ha'yisra al titsheni v'al ta'azveni elokei yishuvi. A lot of hard words over here. Al taster, do not conceal your ponim mimeni. Hashem, do not hide. That is one of the greatest. This pasuk over here is a very, very powerful pasuk. Because this whole world is one big world of hide and seek. When Hashem created the world, the whole goal of the whole purpose of this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He hides Himself. And Hashem made the word, we always say this in the Shir, Hashem made the world with the word Shakai. Shakai means Sh'omar Le'olamai Dai. Hashem said to the world, enough. When Hashem created the world was evolving. It was evolving more and more to the point where it would have been, it was the obvious, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Hashem is the creator. Now, when we always mention this idea that when you create a poem, okay, in the medieval times, when poems, that was the way of the world. When you go, always, like Rabbi Berlwein likes to say, listen to the Shiram, his tapes, he would say that when you go, let's say you go to a simcha. Today, when you go to an event, let's say you're a guest, you go to a Sheva Brachos. You go to an ufruf, you go away for Shabbat. So it's the custom, you bring a gift. If someone is so kind to put you up in their home, to prepare for you fresh linen, and to give you a little apartment to live in, so what do? You bring them a bottle of wine. You bring them some candy, something from O'Nuts, or from the nuttery, wherever you want to go, you bring them a little gift. In the Middle Ages, you don't bring them a bottle of wine. You don't need your wine. They don't want O'Nuts. They're on a diet. They're not interested in eating some chocolate covered, who knows what. So what do? When you go visit someone for Shabbos, you bring them a poem. A poem. Yoyina Matzah Menayach. You bring them a poem. If the name of the Chasan Kala is Yonah, and Manoach, Yonah is a girl's name sometimes. And the name of the Kala is Yonah, and the name of the Chosen is Manoach. Yonah Matzah by Manoach. So you bring them a poem. That's the way it was in the Middle Ages. Rebellion 1 writes about this. That's the way it was. It was extremely common. And what do? When you write a poem, you put your name in it. Attribution. There's no such thing. It's very, very funny. You know, you would think that it would be a virtue to be anonymous, but it's not. It's never a virtue for some reason to be anonymous. Today, when you write a letter, If you write a letter to the editor, it's cheap. It's cheap if you write a letter to the editor anonymous. They do it all the time, you know, it depends on, This is a very big debate. A raging debate, is there any value in an anonymous letter? This is a big, big topic.
Okay, some
big debate. Is there so every newspaper has its policy. Every newspaper has its policy. If they will accept a letter to the editor that is anonymous, is there virtue? It seems in time of Chazal there was no virtue in writing a poem without attribution. If you write a poem, you better put your name inside of it. Your name has to be there somewhere. There has to be an acrostic, or there has to be at the end or the beginning. There has to be some type of attribution. If there's no attribution, forget it. It's worthless. So when Hashem made this world, Hashem created the world. Don't you think what is an anonymous world? This world is one big anonymous letter. Isn't that what this world is? It's an anonymous letter. This whole world is one massive expression of existence. Who wrote it? Where's the attribution? So it was in the making. It was the unfinished letter. Isn't there there are books in there, I think they're called the unfinished diary, the unfinished letter. There are a lot of different titles of different publications that are called the unfinished. This world is the unfinished letter. Hashem, this whole world is one major expression of Hashem. And Hashem was in the middle of composing it, and it was, you know, it was developing. And then all of a sudden, Hashem says, "Dai, I have to go to Mincha. That's it. Forget it. Just wrap it up." Oh, but we didn't put the attribution, the byline, by Hashem. It's not important. I have to go now. Just cut it short. This world, Hashem was expanding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not get the opportunity decided to hide. And here, David over here, this pasuk is a very critical expression. Al taster panecha mimeni. David here is going up against the very grain of creation. The grain of creation, the whole nature of creation is anonymity. Hashem's anonymity. And it is man's goal to discover Hashem. And David here says, do not. Al taster panecha mineni, do not hide your panim from me. I know you're the author. I know you're here. Do not conceal yourself. Al tat ba'avadana. The word tat is a hard word. The word tat means to reject. What does it say? Let's see, to try to find a more precision in the Mitzudos. In the Mitzudos, David, al tate es avdecha, do not falter, to turn, al tate es avdecha limpol biyad ha'af, do not allow your servant to tilt, or to turn, or to totter. What is this? Do you have an English translation? No, that you know, that's what it said. Read the whole pasuk. Pasuk 9.
Do not hide your presence from me. Do not turn your servant away with anger.
Hey, turn. In the Judaic press, it translates the word tat to mean do not turn. Do not turn in anger away avdecha. Again, the Mitzvah stuff, it says do not let me fall. Do not let me totter. Topple. One more time, the mitzvah is David. Al tate es avdecha. Do not allow your servant.
In other words, do not turn away.
Linpol to fall biyad ha'af.
So I would fall into someone angry hand.
When Hashem is angry, the anger will cause me to fall. It will cause me to collapse.
Means to fall into someone's hand.
What does it look? What is it? What is
that this? Means, that means to be subject to.
Look in the look in the Targum. The Targum translates al satzle virugzali avdach. What does that mean? Satzle. Does it say in the Judaic press? Does it say any other translation? Al satzle. Do not let me. I guess it means to fall. Okay, to turn, to fall. We need a better translation. By the way, these two letters are you know, in our language are they sound the same. Then they sound the.
I was thinking he is saying that the root is.
It was the word
in
the
Haftarah.
Infinitive,
to turn.
The turn in Parshas, what was it? Parshas Bikul Kaisai or Parshas Bahar? We had the Vinotateto. Vinotateto. It was one of the words of the Haftarah. Hard word, Vinot. I think it was Vinotateto. Vinotateto. Then remember that in the Haftarah a few days ago? I think maybe it was Parashas Bahar.
The root is not.
Is no. To turn. For, okay, all right. Let's leave it for that. Al tat biavavdecha ezrosi ha'yisa al titcheni. Do not titcheni is also a similar word. Do not titcheni. The al ta'azveni elokei yishi. These are words which these are very very similar words. Let's back look at the Mitzvah David. Do not abandon. Do not allow me. It's the same word. Al tit sheni is the same word as tat. Do not allow me to fall. And the al yaz val ta'azveni, do not abandon me. Elokei yishi. So how many words do we really have in this pasuk? We have over here al taster, do not hide. Al tat, do not let me fall. To turn in a state of falling, and do not abandon me. Okay, what does Rashi say? Pasik tes al tat al tachria. Tilt. Okay, what's tachria? You have a scale. The word tachria means you have a scale.
Do not bend over.
To bend over tachria. To bow. Kamo vayet shamayim Hashem bent the heavens. When Hashem came down in Har Sinai. Hashem, He bent the heavens to descend. Okay, so this means. Okay, so this is Rashi is also struggling to a degree with this word. This word, al tachria, do not bend. Kimo vayit shemaim. All right, fine. Let's go to the next pasuk yud. Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'Hashem ya'asafeni. My father, my mother have abandoned me, but Hashem has gathered me in. Raj Mitzvah is David, ki avi v'imi azavuni, loy nosnu lidei machsori. My parents have not provided me with what I need. Yasafeni gathered me in. Osaf esi elah b'seis lidei machsori, all of my needs. So now this is very strange. David and Melech Avinu is talking about his parents. David is saying that my father and my mother have abandoned me, and Hashem gathers me in. Why does David say that? Why does David say that my mother, my father abandoned me? Did they really abandon him? Well, according to the Medrash, we always like to cite, and this Medrash over here appears all over the place. So we had many different versions. Yes, David was abandoned by his mother and his father because they thought that he was a mamzer. Just the very famous Medrash is that David comes from Moab. And when David was born, it was still at a point in time in his life, in the history of the Jewish people, where it was not yet fully accepted, the halacha, amoini, v'loy amoinis, moyav, v'loy moyavis. And there were people that still believed that, lo yovoi, amoini, umoyavi, b'kahal Hashem. David's father was Yishai, and Yishai goes all the way back to Rus HaMoavia.
So he was also from whatever...
Sorry?
Whatever
Ogham
was on David was
right. So Yishai believed.
So why would his parents?
Well, so let's explain. So Yishai believed that he's not Jewish. Exactly. The Medrash says Yishai was afraid that he was not Jewish. Because Yishai comes from Moab. Yishai felt, I'm not even Jewish. Even though Yishai Chazal said that when he went out into the streets, 600,000 people accompanied him. He was a legend, he was a rock star. And yet, Yishai Libay Noikfai, that the day will come when they'll make a ban, is the Sanhedrin will paskin that Yishai himself is not Jewish. So Yishai very much wants that he should leave over in this world a biological child that has the status of a Jew. No one will challenge. So what is the solution for such a person? The solution for Yishai was to live with a shifcha. Is a legal loophole. And they even once they gave a shid, there's even a way today for a person to do this today. There's a whole shy of a person that they have a mamzer. A person today is a mamzer and he wants to purify his leave over in this world a biological child that is halachically Jewish, that's able to come into the klal. So what did he do? I'm going to live with a maidservant, a shifcha kinanis. And then the status is the halacha is that the child will follow the mother. And the mother is a shifcha kinanis. So then the child will be an evet, an evet kinani. And then Yishai will free the child. He will free the child. Then when you free the child, then that would happen. When you free an Eved Kenani, the Eved Kenani becomes an Eved Meshuchrar and has the status of a Ger Tzedek. And a Ger Tzedek is not allowed to marry Koyein, but at least the Ger Tzedek can marry into Klal Yisrael. So David was afraid that he was a Moavi. A Moavi is not accepted in Klal Yisrael at all. But there's a solution. The solution is he will marry a Shifcha Kinanis. And she will become pregnant. And she will have a child. And the child will have the status of an Eved Kinani. He will then free the Eved Kinani. And the Eved Kinani is going to be a Ger Tzedek. And that Ger Tzedek can then marry into Klal Yisrael. So what did he do, Yishai? He separated his Poyresh from his wife. And he told the Shifcha that worked in the house that I am going to live with you. I'm going to marry you, I'm going to live with you, and we're going to have a child. And I'm going to free that child. And he was planning on being with her at night. And this Shifcha chickened out. And she told her mistress, Mrs. Yishai, of the plan. And the Shifcha said, I'm not going to go get in between you and your husband. So you know what? You go in my place. You're his wife, I'm chickening out. I'm running away, you go in my place. Yishai comes home, and Yishai lives with... May, are you here? How is Tamari? How is Tamari? Wait a minute, wait. How is Tamari first? Tell us what's with Tamari.
She's resting, she's tired, they canceled the surgery. They're going to try doing good antibiotics, because... She had the surgery is dangerous and COVID is dangerous. So we decided it's better than no surgery.
Is she okay? Is she feeling okay?
Yeah, she's sleeping all the time. She's
in the hospital?
Yeah, she's in the hospital. And we'll see tomorrow.
All right, well, Fuwa Shalema. Fuwa Shalema.
When Shmuel came and he met the sons of Yishai, and he wanted to pick Camilla. So what was wrong? They think that they were better because they were not a mamzer. I mean, they had the psul of Maya.
No, so let me say this, finish the story. So what happened? What happened in this story? What happened in this story? So he was perish, he was perish from his wife, and he was gonna live with the Shifcha. And the Shifcha didn't want to do this, she got scared. So she ran away and she told the wife, you go in my place. Yishai comes home. He thought he was living with a shifcha, but he was really living with his wife. And then, shortly thereafter, his wife becomes pregnant.
There was no communication with them.
And there was no communication, so Yishai says, what? My wife is pregnant? I have not been with my wife in a very long time. There is no way in the world she could be pregnant. I was not with her. I was with the Shifcha, not with my wife. How in the world is she pregnant? There's only one explanation. She was Mizana. If she was Mizana, I never gave her a divorce. She was Mizana. If she was Mizana, she's an Eshes Ish Shezinsa. And that means the child is a Mamzer. The child is born. So David has now on his hands a Mamzer. The brothers...
Is this like history repeating itself?
What?
Is this like history repeating itself?
What do you mean? Yehuda and Tamar, yeah, I guess it is history repeating itself, yeah.
It's and in now, the same line, in the same ancestry.
The same, yeah. Now, I saw recently another version of the Medrash that says the brothers wanted to kill him on the spot. The brothers, David had six brothers, and they found out what happened, so they said to their father, if he's a mamzer, let's just eliminate him immediately. So Yishai told them, it's not going to be good for your shidduchim. If you eliminate him, people are going to find out about it more. I don't remember the details, but it's going to create even more publicity if you openly kill him. So Yishai convinced them that the best thing is not to kill him. And the best thing is that he'll die naturally. And that's why he was sent to the front lines. That's why David went out. He was sent as a shepherd in the most dangerous region where there were wolves. And there were wolves and lions. And they sent him out. And when then Hashem sent Shmuel to be Mamluch to anoint the Melech, so who did they find? So they first saw David's older brothers. And Shmuel thought, for sure, this is the Mashiach Hashem. And Hashem said, no, this is not the one, that's not the one. Until finally they went to all six brothers. And then Shmuel asked them, is there maybe another brother? And they said, who, the Mamzer? That's the one you want? And sure enough, they went to retrieve David, who was out in the field, and the oil miraculously jumped out of the container onto David's pot, onto David. And then the entire secret came out that David was not a mamza. David really, the Yishai was really lived with his wife, not with the shifcha. And he was not a mamza. And everything was kosher v'yosher. But during this period of time, when David was being suspected of being a mamza, so he was abandoned. No one wanted him. They sent him to the fire department and said, take him. And they didn't want to take him in the fire department. They had no choice but to take him home. And that's what it says here in the pasuk, ki avi, my father Yishai, v'imi, and my mother, azavuni, they abandoned me. Because of this whole story where Yishai decided he's going to go and leave over in this world a biological child, that his yichus is not challenged, and then this whole thing came about because of what happened.
But the mother
didn't want to say, because I guess it would be betrayal. I guess if the mother would say, it was me, I live with you, so then Yishai will be very angry at the Shifcha, and it will create some, who knows, there's more to the story, obviously. And I'm not making up this story. This story is all over the place. This story appears in many, many different versions of the story, all different, and each version has different details of exactly what happened.
How could Yishai live with a Shifcha?
Because Yishai was a guy. So there's a tanai. There's more details to the story that I'm leaving out. He made a tanai with her, manavshach. I think he made a tanai. Maybe he freed her. On the tzad that I'm a goy, I'm a moavi, I'm allowed to live with you. And on the tzad that I'm not a moavi, that I'm being mashachar you, and he did a whole lamnisha thing that he did. Because it goes to show that he cared so much Yishai, he loved Klal Yishol so much that he wanted so much to leave in this world a biological child that can be part of Klal Yishol. And it really says, it speaks volumes about Yishai. Yishai was from the few people that did not commit any avera.
Yeah, which makes that story even more. Yeah, right. Yitzchak, Binyamin, Yishai.
Who else?
Kolev
and David. David, one of David's sons. Yishai did not do that there. But Klal Yisrael comes from David. Now, the average person would say, listen, what do I care? If you don't like my yichus, whatever it will be, right? At this point in Jewish history, it was not clear, the halacha, Moavi v'loy Mayavis. It was not so clear. Obviously, Yishai was a very popular person. The Gemara says that wherever he walked, he was accompanied by 600,000 people. Now, what that means, I don't know. That's a very big number. But Yishai was a celebrity. He was a celebrity in Klal Yisrael. Yet it's very clear that at this point in Jewish history, his yichus was questionable. And it was not yet decided. There wasn't a final verdict. Is the halacha correct? Moavi v'loi moavis. It was not so clear. So on that side, that yes, Moav v'loi moavis, and Yishai is a full-fledged Jew. Yishai is a wonderful person. Yishai is going to leave over in this world many children, doyrois of miyuchasim, a legacy in Klal Yisrael. But on the tzad, that one day they're going to come along and they're going to paskin Moavi, v'afila Moavis. That means Yishai is out. That means Yishai is going to leave this world. He's not going to leave over anyone that's going to be part of the Jewish people. Yishai could not live with that. Yishai had a love for Klal Yisrael that he demanded that he has to be part of Klal Yisrael. And the only way he's going to do that, one way or another, by hook or by crook, he's going to leave over. And he's going to go marry a Shifra Kenanis, have a child with a Shifra Kenanis. The child's going to be called an Eved Kenani, and then he's going to free the Eved Kenani. And an Eved Kenani does not follow the father. An Eved Kenani is a unique category in Jewish law. It's a very unique category in Jewish law that Avodim Kenanim follow the mother. They do not follow the father. So you can have the worst father possible. You can have a father that's a Moav. You can have a father that's a Mamzer. A father that is any category. And if a Mamzer marries a Shifra Kenanis and they have a child and you free the child is a Ger Tzedek. And we once gave a whole shiur about this today. Today, let's say we have a person that's a Mamzer. He's finished. A Jew today who's a Mamzer, what are his options? Very, very, very poor options. So there's a solution. I don't know if they do this. There's a solution that today for a Mamzer should marry a Shifra Kenanis. Now the problem is, how today do you find a woman who has the status of a Shifra Kenanis? Okay, what are you going to do? So because international law, there's supposedly an international law. We have to ask the globalists, Rachel. In the World Economic Forum to tell us the rules. The rules are that it is illegal to have slaves. There is no such thing in this world, in international law, as owning another human being. Now that's only on the books. But in the black market, all over the world, there are slaves, human slaves. So people have made a suggestion that a person is a mamzer, he wants to mitar his yichus, he should go to, I don't know, to some third world country and purchase a slave, a woman, and the woman now becomes his property, and he marries her, he lives with her, they have a child, the child is a slave, and then he frees the slave. And today, a mamzer can be mitaher, then that becomes already a regular Jew, can marry into Klal Yisrael. Some want to say that the state of Israel should do this. The state of Israel should arrange for mamzerim, to people. Let's say you have a mamzer, he meets a nice, fine, from Jewish girl, a Beis Yaakov girl, there can't be a Jewish girl, it has to be a non-Jewish girl. And the state of Israel should make an arrangement, because they have the power, they are a state, and they should make arrangements. What?
If you're a Mamzer, you can become a prime minister.
Okay, so the state of Israel should make an arrangement where non-Jews should be able to sell themselves to the state of Israel, so that the man can then marry her and have a child with her, and it can free the child, and the child can be part of Klal Yisrael. Okay, there was such a discussion about such things. Sounds barbaric, right? But the goal is it's able to be mitaher mamzer. Yishai did just that, and when Yishai did just that, the plan did not go very well. Things did not go according to plan, and they thought that David was a mamzer. So what happened? This pasuk came into play. Ki ovi ve'imi azovuni. They wanted to get rid of me. They thought I was a mamzer. But Hashem knew I'm not. And ultimately, Hashem made me into the Melech Yisrael. Hashem Ya'asifeni. Hashem took me in. Not only did He take me in off the street in the fire department, He made me the Melech of Klal Yisrael. You never know. You never know. Even though the whole world thinks you're a mamzer, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows better. You can be the Melech of Klal Yisrael. That's what it says over here in this pasuk. Look at Rashi. Rashi over here says, "Rashi ki avi v'imi azavuni b'shas." Period. Now Rashi here says something. Okay, we're done with the medrash. Rashi here says something that's very graphic. This is rated R. This is a very, very. I see everyone now is waking up. This is a very bizarre Rashi, probably the most bizarre Rashi in the entire Tanakh. Okay, if that didn't wake you up, then I don't know what will. The entire most bizarre Rashi. Ki avi v'imi azavuni b'shas tashmish lehano osan nischavnu kevon shagamu hano osan zehoypech panav eilech v'zehoypech panav eilech v'Hashem yasefeni HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoymir esatipa v'tzor esa'uba. W is saying that his parents, when they engaged in Tashmish, was for their own pleasure or their own Hano. How could David say that? Okay, David over here, we're talking about Yishai. We're talking about Yishai, and Yishai was from the holiest people in the world. As we recall to before, we said that Mayavsky, one of the four people that had never committed a sin. Is it fair to say that when Yishai was Mizavik with his wife to conceive David, that it was for their pleasure? Is that fair to say such a thing? When a person, okay, we're not talking about the average person, we're talking about over here holy people. When holy people are engaged in this activity, it's l'shem shamayim. It's not l'shem their own pleasure. It's shocking. I don't have any shot what this means. You want to see that David over here is referring to the average person in this world, that the average person, he has a yetzahara, and this activity is for their one's own pleasure. And ki avivimia, the graphic terms of Rashi are just shocking, what Rashi says. And this obviously needs some very deep bayer to explain what this means. We'll leave with that. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we're going to continue with Pasuk Yud Aleph. We'll move ahead with Yud Aleph tomorrow, Mir Tashem. Take a short break. I want to talk about some Yom of Shavuos. Talk about the topic of Kivos Sikin. This of davening early. Those are davening early on in Shavuos. And some other related Minhagim, Yoni Halacha, regarding Shuas. Okay, I'll take a short break.
But how could David inject this perfect into them? You know, because when the average person presents this, he said, "My parents, you know, have left me." I mean, you know, I understand his circumstance, the whole story. But when we daven, we just daven, you know.
I don't know. It's very. We say this the whole Chodesh Elul. Sir, do you know what you just said? Do you know what Rashi says on this pasuk? You say this the whole Chodesh Elul. Do you know what it says in Rashi?
First, a lot of time. Do you know what you're saying? And when he got to a pasuk. He used to tell me, all the things that he said to me when I was a little kid like that, they stayed with me. You know, when you teach Gemara and you learn all the Gemara discussing certain sukkahs, it stays with me. Yeah.